Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sorry about
Oh, that's
that.
good. No, that's okay. That's Zoom for you. It just be like that sometimes.
Totally.
Hey, thanks so much for being available. I know that was a bit of a tricky one trying to find a time when we were both available, but we're here. We did
Great,
it.
beautiful.
Yeah, wonderful. Alrighty. So pre-recorded obviously, we're not live to air, so yeah, we'll just jump straight into it. It's lovely to meet you, by the way. Can you still hear me? Seem to be having some technical difficulties. Can you send me a message in the chat if you can still hear me? I can't hear you.
You can't hear
Oh,
me?
I can now. That's so weird.
I'm not sure what happened there.
No, me neither. Okay, you know what? We'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Can I just get you to, I don't know, say like a sentence, like I don't know what you ate for breakfast or something today, and I'll see if I can check the levels.
Yeah,
Just say a random
sure. So
sentence.
I ate porridge for breakfast and I drank a cup of tea.
Okay. Look, yeah, we'll give it a go. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. If it does, we'll just stop and start again. But oh well, technical difficulties. What can you do?
Yeah, there's not a way to do it just over a phone call.
I mean, if it keeps happening, then yeah, we'll change it around, and I'll send you a ch if it stops working, I'll send you a chat and like a message on the Zoom chat, and we'll set something else up. But hopefully this works.
I feel like this will be fine.
All right, too easy. All right, we'll get straight into it then. June, oh my goodness, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So, congratulations on your release. We've had a couple of weeks to dig into it now, which is really exciting. But before we get into it, I wanted to talk a little bit about your first solo album. I mean, it's quite a relatively stripped back affair. That's Diana that you released back in 2019. You've got this incredibly powerful voice that sits so lovely over a piano, and now, this new album, there's many moments on it that's got this kind of lovely new, weirdness and newness to these arrangements with these, trap drums and warp synths. I don't know, what was the decision behind moving from, something a little bit more acoustic to Leaf Cutter?
Well, I think Leafcutter is just the first time I've produced my own record, so I think I was able to explore a lot of musical ideas that had sort of been floating about in my head for a while. And I think I wanted to commit a bit more to the electronic side of the production. I As someone who has ADHD, I have a pretty short attention span. And so I feel like I have moments where I'm like, oh wow, there's a song that I wrote that I play that I would probably get bored in because it's like, slow and sparse, which I think, a lot of people are better equipped to appreciate, but I really like it when lots of different stuff's happening all the time.
Were
So
there any
that's
kind of artists that you were listening to that kind of inspired that sound?
I think I think a big inspiration would have been The Knife, an artist that I've been listening to for about 10 years and kind of come back to every couple of years. And I was really rinsing their live album. I think it's called Shaken Up. Or Shaking the Habitual, Shaken Up. I can't remember. It's like maybe one of the last things they put out before they disbanded. So that was part of it. There's definitely a lot of Björk influence in it, another artist that I've been coming back to for at this point probably 15 years. artists like Oenone and Sophie, who passed away last month, whose production I feel like I could never you know, get anywhere close to, but every time I listen to her music, I'm reminded of the possibilities for what we can do with musical forms and the ways that we can rework tradition to make things that feel completely new.
Yeah, totally. And as you did mention just before, this is your first self-produced record. How different was that? I mean, apart from the obvious of you, you know, getting in the studio and doing it yourself, how different was that to you? I mean, does this feel really different, of a much more different album?
Yeah, I mean, I think being able to see my own, like, you know, fingerprints on every part of the production is kind of new to me, because every other record I've made has had someone else that's played a pretty big part in it, whether it's been musical collaborators, you know, in Two Steps on the Water before my solo project, or Jeffrey O'Connor, who produced the first record. This is the first time where, you know, I look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, that's, I remember doing all of those things in my bedroom at one point or another, you know, for better or worse. Like, it was a pretty epic endeavor. But, you know, I think it's different, but it's also a record that I made like the other records I have made are, and I have similar, you know, emotional roller coasters with how I feel about them, moments of pride and moments of, you know, self-loathing, like any other record.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're still you, right? No matter how, what form it comes out in.
Unless I'm not. But no, I think I am. Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of continuity with the songwriting process between the records and lyrically in the way I use my voice, I think. You know, it's not like a whole new medium.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of similarly to that, I mean, you were previously the lead singer of the country rock band Two Steps on the Water, which, I don't know, it feels like quite a big, you know, big leap from the stuff that you've made on this album. Would you agree with that? Is it a big leap for you, or do you think this is just a natural progression?
Genre-wise, I think it's a pretty big gap between the stuff that we were doing, which was kind of, you know, folk instrumentation with, you know, post-hardcore levels of energy and loudness and quietness. And but yeah, I think part of the reason why that band finished up, you know, a few years ago was because I was starting to write different kinds of songs, and I was starting to write songs on the piano, and I did kind of want to, I always had this kind of record in mind. I think even when I was making Diana, there was a part of me that was like, oh no, I wish I was making Leaf Cutter, even though I didn't really know what Leaf Cutter was. I just really love science fiction. And I don't know if that seems like a non sequitur, but I feel like reading sci-fi was like a really big inspiration for this record. And I, you know, I think Two Steps on the Water came out of me having played the nylon string guitar for so long, and then, you know, certain folk and country influences that were there, but the whole time, you know, I've often one day listened to folk and country and the next day listened to something electronic or something heavier. And I don't think that there always has to be this, you know, huge gap between how we think of those genres or those worlds.
And I was going to bring up your sci-fi interest as well. I wanted to know what kind of, you know, comics or TV shows or books or anything were you kind of getting into when you were thinking about this album?
Yeah, so mostly, well, when I started the album, the first song I wrote was Jenny Reeve. And I wrote that quite a while ago, like almost 2.5 years ago. And I had been reading a lot of Ursula Le Guin at the time, specifically her books, The Left Hand of Darkness and The Dispossessed, which are both really incredible.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just like really amazing, very forward-thinking, radical sci-fi from the 70s around there. And last year, while I was doing a lot of work on the record, I was reading some work by Octavia Butler, who's another amazing sci-fi writer. Her book, Parable of the Sower, which, you know, was really predicting a future that is feeling more and more realistic every day.
Mm.
And a book of short stories and essays of hers called Blood Child. Yeah, you know, I think I don't love all science fiction. I think the kind of canonical mainstays of science fiction can be a bit stale for me. I'm not really interested in like white men writing about like hard science, very theoretical stuff. I really love a science fiction context in which to tell a human story. You know, and I also like a bit of humor. Like one of my favorite movies is like The Fifth Element.
Mm.
You know, that and like The Matrix were like both very important, informative movies when I was growing up.
Yeah, totally. I guess, you know, looking forward then, you know, considering that you've had this chance to self-produce this album, and I guess looking in the sci-fi thing, do you see yourself writing maybe like a sci-fi concept album then to kind of explore, you know, as you were mentioning then, you know, a human story in a sci-fi space?
I honestly, there were songs that were going to go on this record that were more in that vein, but it's really, yeah, I don't know. I have moments where I'm like, a concept album, but I think ultimately what I would love to do one day is actually to write a musical. I feel like I could do a musical. I'd feel more comfortable writing a musical than I would a concept album.
Oh, and really?
I'm not sure if I can tell you exactly why.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's a huge jump.
Maybe when I think of concept albums, I just really think of like 70s prog rock bands.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like if there are any concept albums that I personally love. Maybe there are, but it's a really tricky line to walk between, you know, well-executed fiction and something that's just like too contrived and falls apart and doesn't, I don't know, doesn't have songs that stand alone as well.
Yeah, so but more likely a musical than like a popera or an opera or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just like always wanted to write a musical. I don't think I'm necessarily qualified to do it, but that's, you know, I wasn't qualified to produce and mix my own album, but that's what you do when you are a control freak with a low budget, is you just commit to doing things that you don't know how to do, and then you figure out how to do them.
And you know what? That's life, man. Like that, I think that's the best way to do it.
Totally.
Jude, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Beautiful. Thanks for that. Well, I hope that we'll see a musical coming soon then. You'll have to maybe in
Look,
the Fringe.
It's probably festival. 10 years away, but I really hope that I can do it one day.
That would be so cool. So cool. Especially if it like if it does have that sci-fi theme. That's like I feel like that's something that I personally haven't, you know, seen of or explored before, and I feel that could be so cool.
Maybe it's just what the world needs, but it probably isn't. But it might be, but it probably isn't.
Yeah, but it might be. It might be. Oh, I'm glad that worked. I'm glad the Zoom held out for us then. That was great. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Congratulations on the album. We love it here, obviously. So nice work. I'm glad you gave yourself the permission to produce it because we love it.
Oh, that's really kind. Thank you.
No worries. Have a good
day.
Yeah, you too. See ya.
Yeah.